Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
You're listening to Growing Your Mind, Jim, with Mr. Theodore Albright.
My name is Theodore Albright. Today we're going to look at growing your mind. Now, this is a maiden edition and it's going to be absolutely fabulous. We're going to look at personality types, the reds, the yellows, the greens, the blue. What do I mean by that? So many, many years ago, let me take you back, maybe 2,400 years ago, Aristotle, Plato, and Socrates, Thales, etc., etc., the Greek philosophers, were looking at different personality types, and they talked about earth, wind, fire, etc., etc. Fast forward 2,000 years later, you have somebody like Carl Jung and Freud who look at personality types, and fast forward again today, we have what you call Myers-Briggs, which is the most popular way of defining personalities. Back then, we talked about melancholic people, phlegmatic people, sanguine people, etc. Today, for ease of reference, we use colors: red, yellow, blue, and green. Now, why is knowing about your own personality and the personality of the people you work with and the personality of the people you love with important? It is important because your personality affects the lens through which you see the world. How you view the world is directly proportionate to the type of personality type that you have. And so I'm going to break them down into four major personality types. The reds are those who love action. You know, they get an idea and immediately they action it. The yellows are the ooey-ooey types. They're very fun-loving types. They leave everything till the last minute because when they leave it till the last minute, it becomes exciting and then they do it. The greens are the reflective people type. So these are the people who always want to know how any decision is going to affect people. And the blues simply want more data before they make a decision. Now, the colors are not the only way by which you can describe personality types. You know, the other popular one is ocean, which is openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. But for the purpose of today's program, we'll just look at the four. Now, if you are a leader and you're leading yourself, you need to understand the sort of personality type that you have. So, for example, if I'm a yellow, it means that I'll leave things to the last minute before I do them because I find them more exciting. The last minute rush thing is quite gives me a buzz. Okay, but then if you have a boss who is a red and wants things done immediately, how do you then connect the yellow who wants to leave it to the last minute and the red who wants it done now? And vice versa. So if you're a boss and you're red and all the people you work with are different colors, not only do you need to understand your own color, a red, you're action-oriented, but you also need to understand the other colors of the people, personality types, with whom you work. And so, one, as a leader, you need to understand your personality type. And then two, you need to understand the personality types of the people with whom you work. And then three, you need to decide how you approach the different personality types. And of course, four, if you're an employee or you have a boss, you also need to understand how your personality type affects, interacts with your bosses. So in some institutions, you will actually find that they go through a process to identify the different personality types, red, yellow, green, and blue, and then would name them and put them on a board. And so if I'm acting with my boss, and I'm a yellow and my boss is red, immediately I know that my boss will want the delivery to be done instantly, even though my natural tendencies will be otherwise. And so I need to find a bridge between my yellow and my boss's red in order to be able to deliver, okay? And vice versa if you're a leader. And so sometimes what you would do, there are a number of ways you can address this. One would be that you take specific days and you color them. So Mondays are red days, which means that it's all out for action, okay? And then Tuesday, you revert to your yellow. Or Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays are red days. And then in the middle, you have a yellow day so that you can reset. Or you can actually segment your day into colors. So the first hours of the morning, let's say from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, you could have that as a green, reflective, blue, dated time. And then from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock could be all red, which means you're go, go, go. And then in the evening from 6 o'clock, you can be a yellow. That works. So then you might ask me, how do I know whether my boss is a red or a yellow or a green? And I would say that it's good for organizations and institutions to actually go through the process of assessing each individual party's dominant trait. So truth of the matter is that even though you might be a yellow is not all that you will be. You will have other traits, but your yellow will be your dominant trait. And they may be followed by a red, a blue, and a green. So I, for instance, I'm 99% yellow and about 64% red, which means that my dominant trait is engaging with people, having fun, etc., etc. And quite frankly, you find that I tend to leave things or tended to leave things to the last minute, not because I didn't want to do it, but sometimes it's just boring, right? It gets more exciting the closer you get to the deadline, okay? So that fear or excitement makes it more interesting. And that is why some people will leave their exams revision to the last minute, cram the night before, go and do it, and forget it afterwards. Most likely, such people are yellows. And then you find your classmate, goodness me, and I've met some who would, you know, as soon as they get the assignment, they go to the library and they do the work. And I used to sit in awe of such people because they're just amazing, you know, consistent, day on day, week on week, you know, they'll take the book, they'll study the book, they'll color the book. And those people I used to hold in awe. While I was at uni, I could never get myself to convert into those sorts of people, but I held them in absolute awe, you know. And if that is you, every single personality type has a benefit and a downside. And what you ought to do is to optimize your personality type, okay? So that you give off your best. If you're yellow and they put you in a data-driven type job, you know, you literally have to think yourself into being a blue in order to deliver. But if you're yellow and you're an entertainer, it just flows naturally. Who was it who said, I think it was Henry Ford, who said, you know, find what you love, do it, and you never have to work again. So if you're yellow and you are in entertainment, bloody hell, becomes just pure joy. If you're green, and they tend to be the reflective types, and they tend to be, what will the people think? Da 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 da. Then you find a role or profession which chimes with it. So you could be a marriage counselor, you could be a teacher, you could be even a diplomat. That sort of role lends itself quite well. So what am I saying here? What I'm saying that it is important that you're able to identify your personality type, especially the dominant or top note personality. Two, you need to understand the people around you and their personality types. Three, you need to find out whether it is possible to optimize your personality type for the role you play, the profession you get into, etc., etc. And if all of this is not possible for you, then you can take your day or take your week and divide it into such a way that you have some reds, you have some blues, you have some yellows, and you have some greens. Or just take your day and divide it. I've done that. You know, I know I'm a yellow, and so I've divided my day into four parts. The first part is for reflection, which is green. The second part is for investment, which is blue, i.e. accumulation of data. The next part is for production, which is red. And then the last part is engagement. This is where, you know, you get to listen to music, watch a movie, or engage with others, and so on. So I do that for the day, but I also do that for the week. So Monday, Tuesday, red. Wednesday, blue. Thursday, Friday, red. Saturday, green. Sunday, yellow. So red is for production. That is how you give value. Blue is for accumulation of data. So you grow your mind that way. Green is for reflection. And let me say this. This is really critically important. If you are a leader, one of the key success factors for you is your ability to reflect. Did I do well? Didn't I do well? Etc., etc. So you can't be red, and ignore the other colors. Really important. And then, of course, for me, yellow, engagement, relationship on Sundays. So I get to pull my head down. I get to binge. You know, this Sunday, for example, I binged on 8 episodes of The Consultant, and then binged on 2 episodes of Succession, and then binged on 6 episodes of Down the Rabbit Hole, all on a Sunday. Bosh, I'm done. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm not going to watch anything other than listen to audiobooks or something that will grow my mind. But on Sunday, I can afford to just sit and binge something entertaining, knowing that Monday, Tuesday will be red days, Wednesday will be blue days, Thursday, Friday will be red days, Saturday will be green days. So what do I do on a typical Saturday? On a typical Saturday morning, I book time and have an appointment with myself where I sit down to reflect. And I ask myself a couple of questions. What should I start? What should I stop? And what should I sustain? What are the 3 key successes that I have for the week? And that's really important. If you were here in the studio and you looked in my planner, you would see that I literally, you know, so for the month of April, I've put here big 3 wins, and I literally document all my big 3 wins for every 5 days. Okay. For me, my week is 5 days. I want to be more productive. So I've broken my week into 5 days instead of 7 days. And I've broken my month into 15 days instead of 30 days. So at the end of 15 days, that's the end of the month. Okay. Why do I do that? Let's train a bit, but this is reflection. So it's really important. Most people will celebrate their birthday, if they live to be 100 times. And perhaps in addition to birthday times, you say New Year. So birthday, New Year, that's when most people will resolve to have resolutions, reflect, etc., etc. So at best, if you live to be 100 years, you'll reflect how many times? 200 times. Okay. But why don't you do it every week? Because if you did your reflections every week, then you will get in 4 years what you get in 100 years. Okay? You will get 200 reflections in 4 years instead of the 100 years. And of course, when you take the life cycle of a human being, after 70 years, there is some sort of decline. So it's better to front load the reflection and make the course corrections as quickly as possible. And so if you do your reflections every 5 days or every 7 days, it affords you the opportunity to course correct before you go way off. Okay, so you don't wait till the end of the year to say, oh, my New Year's resolutions. No, every week you're holding yourself accountable as to whether those resolutions, goals, dreams, visions, missions are being achieved. And that is why for leaders, it is critical as a key success factor to be able to reflect. Okay, so reflection is a critical success factor for all of us. And the more you do it, the more you hold yourself accountable. And the more accountability you engage with, the better able you are to course correct and achieve your goals. And of course, if you're yellow and you're bright, all things bright and beautiful, yellow, all things bright and beautiful, it means that you're always, to a large extent, happy, on point, absolutely, and I'm going to use the word in its proper sense, gay, right? Not homosexual, but absolutely lit up, effervescent, sprightly, sprite in your head. If you ask me, how are you? Most times I'll tell you, exceedingly well. And that is the truth, exceedingly well. And speaking to the producer of the program, this afternoon's program, I was just saying to him that even a fake smile will produce dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. And those will give you a natural high. Okay? And so if you're not naturally a yellow, all you have to do is put on a fake smile. And immediately, and I'm talking milliseconds, you'll be whisked to yellow. Okay, from green, blue, red, or wherever you're sitting on the spectrum. So we've looked at the different personality types, blue, yellow, red, and green. And we've said that red is action. I want production now. Yellow is engagement. I want to have fun. Blue is I want data before I make up my mind. And green is, how will it affect the people around me? You as a leader, you need to know your dominant personality type. And then also, you need to understand the personality types of the people with whom you work. That is critical. Now, in management theory, the thinking is that you treat everybody equally. Not so. If you've got red, gold, red, yellow, green, and blue, how can you treat everybody equally? It means that how you manage as a manager, as a leader, needs to be tailored and bespoke to the individual persons. You know, aside the personality types, of course, you've got the life cycle where people are in their lives, their dreams, their vision, their missions, and so on and so forth. All of that goes to formulate how you deal with people. And then there's a top slice. And that top slice I haven't mentioned yet. That top slice is culture, national culture. And believe it or not, each country demonstrates a particular culture. And so there's a guy called Hofstede. Hofstede was engaged by Shell to conduct a survey across the world, and I think he surveyed over 30 different countries. And he came up with a cultural personality map. Wow. And that cultural personality map showed two types of personality types. Those who can't speak to power, which he called high power distance, because there's a high power distance between the person who wanted to speak and the possessor of the power, and those who could speak to power. And he calls those low power distance. And so, for example, if you take Nigeria is a low power distance country. Why? Because, oh God, this one no go work. Oh, he would tell you straight. America is a low power distance country because the guy looking in the eye says, this is just BS. I'm not taking that. Then you come to Ghana. And that is different. Why? Because typically, and I'm Ghanaian, we Ghanaians are not able to speak truth to power. And so we go around in circles and we don't say as it is and we are evasive almost, okay? Because of our inability to speak truth to power. But if you want to see an apt demonstration of this, you need to look at chapter 7 of Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. In there, he applies Hofstede's study to Korean Airlines. And apparently, in Korea, where they have high power distance, sometimes the pilots, co-pilot, who might be more experienced on a particular flight path than the captain, is not able to articulate that the pilot, the captain, has made a wrong decision. And sometimes that costs lives. So in the book Outliers, you see that the Korean Airlines were taken en masse to Canada for reorientation, so that they could be more effusive and more assertive in a given situation. Other cultures where you can't, you know, high power distance, Japan and China, where, you know, there is a sense of deference in terms of either your elders or your bosses. And so you're not able to say it as it is. I share an experience I had many years ago as board secretary for an organization, and I sent the board chairman an email. And the board chairman, by the way, was the governor of the bank of the bank of a country. So he was quite an important gentleman. And so I sent him an email, and he obfuscated, i.e. he didn't answer the question that I posed to him. So, quick as a flash, not knowing my place, I sent him another email saying, quite frankly, board chairman, you have not answered my question. Goodness me, this got his goat. He was so infuriated. And so he had to ask two or three other people, is that how they teach people in England to respond to authority? You know, these days I've learned to be a bit more diplomatic. But the guy didn't answer my question, and I needed to get answers. And so what was I to do? Was I supposed to pussyfoot or just ask it straight? So I did what I knew to be the right thing. I asked him straight. So isn't it interesting? Not only do you have personality types, red, yellow, green, and blue, but you have national cultural types, which also infuse and affect how we present ourselves. Okay? So, question mark, though. If you, as a nation, you are a high-power distance nation, Ghana, and you're going to negotiate with America, you know, do we have to tune our minds in how we negotiate? That is one. And then if you are a sanguine, a yellow or green as a Ghanaian negotiator, and you're going to negotiate with a red in America, bloody hell, how do you deal with that? Okay? All right. So these things are really important. I understand that Boris, i.e. Bojo, Boris Johnson, is a yellow. So he's all fun, okay? Apparently, it took him quite a while to do a lot of work. That's what they say, allegedly, Bojo. But Bojo is a yellow, pure and simple. And you can see it, you know, he exudes enthusiasm in everything that he does. And that's Bojo. But you see, Bojo's married how many times? Quite a number of times, okay? And do you know why I am coming down and being granular? You know, you just finish university, you get this chick. This chick, you and this chick, you're not vibing, oh? Why aren't you vibing? Because she's a yellow and you're green. She wants to party and you want to what? Sit at home and reflect. Bloody hell. It ain't gonna work. They say opposites attracts. Please, don't believe it all. After a while, they repel like nothing else. So it's better to find your own yellow so that you're all on the same path and you understand each other. But in the absence of that, because you can't help who you fall in love with, in the absence of that, in a family context, you need to understand, guys, if you're red and your wife is a yellow, wives, if you're red and your husband is a yellow. Now, I know my mother's listening. My mother is the most red person I know on this planet. Do you think that we should be booking the tickets? What do you think of Singapore? I hear it's a wonderful place. Yeah, I hear it's a wonderful place too. Next thing you know, my mother's booked the tickets. sort yourself out. I've already booked the tickets. Do you think that we should have a get-together next week or the week after? And I'm thinking, can I check my planner and come back to you? Before I know it, my mother's already done it, okay? So there you are. You found the woman of your dreams and you've married her. Okay, and the Brit types will really understand this. You know, you are hoping that your husband does DIY, i.e. he's able to fix things around the house. Okay, so the sink is flooding, the bath is not working, the light is on the blink. You, the wife, you're a red, and your husband is a yellow. The men procrastinate. That's all you hear. The other way around, you know, you're a socialite. You're the life of the party. You're a yellow, like me. And so you always want to be going out, having fun, boys. And Madame just wants to stay at home. Kind of painful, isn't it? But once you understand the typologies or the types of colors or personality types that we are, you can make amends, okay? So what you do, knowing that your wife is a red, guys, you just have to fix it, all right? Otherwise, she might beat you up. Ladies, knowing that your husband is a yellow, you make the extra effort to be able to engage. So, we've talked about work, we've touched on family. What about the children? You know, and frankly, even as they get to the teenage years, they change again, okay? So, they go, hormones are going up and down, the teenage brain is inscrutable, you can't understand, goes up and down, okay? And so, but yet again, you will see in your children the dominant traits. And so you can't treat your children the same. Please. Wrong. Treat them according to their personality types so that they're able to flow. They are optimized in their personality types. Okay? So naturally, because I'm a yellow, I'm always looking for insights that will excite me. All right? And so, truth be told, I can't walk past a bookshop without buying a book to read in there to find more information which will excite me. Okay? So, let's wrap it up. Okay? To grow your mind, you need to understand your personality type. Are you open? Are you conscientious? Your extroversion? Are you agreeable or neurotic? Using the four colors, are you red for action production? Are you green for reflection on people? Are you blue for more information? Or are you yellow for relationship and fun? Okay? Apply this in your workplace, in your relationships, in church. You know, please, don't give the blue to be a meeter and greeter. Give it to the yellow. Don't give the red counseling. No, just tell you, Pastor, this is what you need to do. Just go and do it. The green will empathize and be able to bring it better for you. So I hope that you've taken some tips here. This program is all about growing your mind, GYM. My name is Theodore Albright, signing off. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.
This is an Africa Global Radio production.